Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. We'll be focusing on verse 33 this morning as we conclude our study of Jesus' farewell address to his disciples, in which he was preparing them for what's been called his double departure. First, his departure from his disciples through his death and burial, and then after his resurrection, his second departure from his disciples through his ascension to the Father's right hand. So let's listen in on what Jesus had to say to his disciples on that night in which he was betrayed, that he might speak these words fresh to us and equip us to be his disciples today. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 25, Jesus said, "I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would speak these words afresh to us, these words of your Son. We pray that you would grant us the illuminating power of your Holy Spirit to understand your word and to apply your word to our lives, that we might indeed be overcomers through him who loved us and gave himself for us, even Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, in the movie Overcomer, a high school cross-country runner named Hannah Scott learns to find her identity in Jesus Christ. After her high school principal leads her to a saving relationship with Christ and encourages her to begin reading her Bible, Hannah discovers that as a believer in Jesus, she is blessed, chosen, loved, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, spiritually alive, and eternally rich. And as she begins to face her fears, forgive those who had wronged her, and persevere in fulfilling God's calling on her life, she also discovers that she is an overcomer through the power of the risen Christ. This morning, I want us to consider how each of us who believes in Jesus is, like Hannah, an overcomer. Now, the devil this morning wants you to think otherwise. The world wants you to think otherwise. But God in his word wants to assure you of what Hannah discovered. You are an overcomer through Christ Jesus, our Lord. 2 points considered this morning. First, Christ the overcomer. And second, Christians as overcomers through Christ. First, Christ the overcomer. Jesus said in verse 33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Commenting on this verse, the Gospel Transformation Study Bible, which is a wonderful resource for Bible study, says this: "Before his return, followers of Jesus should anticipate tribulation in this world. But the promise of overcoming stands because Jesus Christ is the overcomer par excellence. Indeed, the theme of living as an overcomer must be anchored in the gospel of grace. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that is, by placing our faith in the finished work of Christ and our union with Him. Overcoming is not something we do for Jesus, it is something we do by Jesus. So Jesus is the preeminent, heroic overcomer who enables believers to overcome like Him through Him. Thus, Jesus told His disciples to take heart. Literally, it means radiate warm confidence. It's also translated take courage or be bold, or as the other older translations put it, be of good cheer. It refers to God bolstering the believer to be bold. Jesus says, be bold, be of good cheer, radiate warm confidence because I have overcome the world. Could be translated, I have conquered or defeated the world. It comes from the Greek word from which we get the word Nike. It means victory. Jesus was teaching His disciples to see and interpret things with the eyes of triumphant faith. Not cynicism, not fear, not unbelief, but triumphant faith. The world, which is under the control of the evil one, is a world of unbelief, of cynicism, of rebellion against God, of perversion of that which is good and beautiful, and of persecution and discouragement of the church of Jesus Christ. It often appears that this world is winning, and that the kingdom of God is losing, and that the world and the ruler of this world will ultimately win. But Jesus said to His disciples, don't fall for that. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Though He was about to be betrayed, arrested, forsaken, mocked, beaten, and crucified at the hands of the world, He said with the utmost confidence, with no hint of wavering, timidity, or uncertainty, be bold. I have overcome the world. As God in the flesh, He could speak of His victory with that kind of certainty. As William Hendrickson put it, truly beautiful and full of majesty is the finale of Christ's farewell address to His disciples. The note of victory prevails. We behold the Son of Man in the full consciousness of His triumph. Every word spells exultation over the accomplishment of the task which had been assigned. Every clause is filled with resolute determination to carry out the Father's will. Through His incarnation, life, death, resurrection, ascension, through the Pentecostal showers of the Holy Spirit, and through His promised second coming, Christ has overcome the world. He has crushed its ruler under His feet. He has accomplished salvation for His people. He has glorified the Father. Psalm 2 gloriously speaks of this reality, the reality of the overcomer, Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way, for His wrath is kindled quickly. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. So So in the first place this morning, Christ is the triumphant overcomer. And in the second place, Christians are overcomers through Christ. That's our identity as those who are in Christ. We're no longer in the world. We're no longer apart from Christ, separated from Christ because of our sins. We are in Christ by faith, and thus his victory is ours. And the Apostle John was listening very carefully when Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It's evident that he was listening carefully, not only because he recorded those words in his gospel, but also because he elaborated on them in his other writings. In John's first letter, chapter 5, beginning in verse 4, he said, Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, John wrote that believers have conquered the ruler of this world, the accuser of the brothers and sisters, by the blood of the Lamb and by the truth we proclaim. Through our faith in Christ, his victory over the world is ours. The word tribulation in John 16:33 is literally the word pressure. We mustn't allow the world to pressure us into unbelief, compromise, and cynicism. We must not give in to that pressure. Even in our present situation, so full of various pressures upon us, Christ will enable those who trust in him to overcome the world, overcome fear with faith, overcome hate with love, overcome confusion with truth, and overcome evil with good. Wednesday night, after over 20 families logged on to be part of BPC's first ever Zoom prayer meeting, one of our members texted Sally and me to say, "God is reviving us." Indeed, he is. And I'm hearing from other ministers who are saying the same thing. God is at work. You know, William Still used to say, when Satan is at work, God is more at work. God is at work, thwarting evil plans and using them for good. God is at work, drawing his people to himself. People are praying like never before. People are repenting of sin like never before. People are worshiping in their homes and through online services like never before, and sharing the good news like never before. There is indeed a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God taking place in our land and around the world. May none of us miss out on it. May none of us miss out on this golden opportunity that the Lord is giving us to draw nearer to Jesus Christ and become more fruitful disciples for him. May all of us say, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Remember, dear Christian, in Christ, you are not a cynic. You are a believer. Believing nothing is impossible with God, and having the eyes to see what God is doing and desiring it more and more and to be part of it more and more. In Christ, you are not a naysayer. You are an ambassador of good news. In Christ, you are not defeated. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. In Christ, you are not full of fear. You are full of the Spirit of power and love and self-control. In Christ, you are not overcome by sin, the devil, the world, or death. You are an overcomer through Him who has overcome for you. Let us look to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we draw near to you again in prayer through your Son who has overcome for us. We thank you for your grace to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we pray that you would help us to remember who we are in your Son, and help us by the power of your Spirit to live for your glory and the good of others, showing the world the conquering love of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.